Welcome back, Full Circle Reviews. This episode is on the 2017 mystery thriller, Wind River. This was my pick this time.
It was.
This was directed by Taylor Sheridan, who any of you folks who watch Yellowstone or Mayor of Kingston, same director.
1883.
Sons of Anarchy, 12 Strong, NCIS Los Angeles.
I didn't know that.
Veronica Mars.
Oh, Heller, I used to like that.
Hell or High Water.
God, your mom loves that movie.
I know, but I hate it. Sicario.
Oh, I like Sicario.
So he's done all of those.
That's cool. Quite a resume.
So, Luke, if you don't know, we really like Taylor Sheridan.
I can't argue.
So, guys, before we go into the cast and everything else, initial thoughts. We're going to go to Luke first because it was his first viewing.
It was. Enjoyed it thoroughly. And it's not the kind of movie you enjoy.
No, it's not an enjoyable movie.
No, but this movie kind of pushed me over the threshold of being a Jeremy Renner fan. I always was ever since his performance in 28 Weeks Later. I really loved him in that as Sergeant Doyle. But this was, he was the focal point. And I really loved his performance.
That was good.
That's what I kind of hang my hat on when I think about this movie, is his performance and how it kind of got me to really be a fan of him. So I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I thought it was a great story, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
And the payoff was worth it. I feel like the payoff is really worth all of it.
Like some justice.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I thought it was so poetic.
I agree with you about Jeremy Renner, though. Like, it's not often you see somebody with good acting skills that can take a role where their character is sullen.
Yeah.
I guess would be the word.
He was melancholy without being extra.
Yeah. And let the body language tell everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I just thought he was absolutely fantastic. I like Elizabeth Olsen in the role as well, as like the rookie FBI agent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Who's all about justice and just coming up the ranks and really has no experience in the real world, and especially
in this climate.
And she goes from like gung-ho to learning a lot about herself and the justice system as a whole. Yeah. I really like that aspect.
She was green in all aspects of the movie, but you're right. There was kind of a metamorphosis.
Exactly.
And it was enjoyable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And very often shit like that is fucked up.
Well, and I feel like a lot of times, when a movie has an agenda like this one did, that it's so shoved down your throat that it's obnoxious.
Yeah.
And you end up being turned off to it. Whereas this, I felt like, did a great job of bringing awareness to what's really going on.
Yeah.
And with her, in essence, coming of age, with his changes throughout the movie, I felt like it was done in such a way that it was natural, realistic, and enjoyable without being, okay, so now is the scene that they're going to make out.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel as forced as other movies can.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I like that it brought awareness, like you said, and knowledge to a topic that's never talked about. I mean, even that last quote in the movie, it was the ending quote. It says, while missing person statistics are compiled for every other demographic, none exist for Native American women.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's kind of jarring, you know what I mean? And because I think when I was researching after this, it said that like one in three women on a reservation will potentially be put in a rape situation
or attacked of some sort. Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
Especially considering it's federal land.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's the overarching government. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah. So no surprise that a Kristen pick is something that's based on real stuff. I tend to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this particular movie, so we talked a little bit about some of the stars. The main star is Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen, who has also played Wanda.
And the Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch, Wanda, same. And is I had not known it until watching this, that she's actually the oldest sister of Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Nor did I.
Know, it's
and then
crazy.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
No, you can't. The similar, it is the eyes. The similarities are just kind of, you feel, how have you not put these two together? 100%.
Cause you see it together and you're like, oh damn.
I mean, the only explanation I can give is possibly because the Olsen twins are not in the limelight anymore.
I didn't realize they had an older sister or I may have connected it.
Since the Heath Ledger deal, they've kind of just gone into obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Because they were connected to his suicide, quote unquote.
It is in quotes. Yes.
Yeah.
So the other, I guess there's not a huge cast in this movie.
No.
So some of the other names. So Kelsey Asbell. I'm sorry. She was Monica in
Yellowstone.
So she played Natalie, the teenager that was attacked in this movie. And then Gil Germingham. I jokingly referred to him as like the token native. Okay. I love him. Okay. He's great. But anytime you have like
a native role,
a chief or a strong native presence, it's usually played by him.
Interesting.
So he actually, if you remember, Luke, he was Jacob's father in Twilight.
That okay. All right. It clicks.
Did it place it now?
It clicks. Okay. Yeah.
He's also the chief in Yellowstone.
Okay. Well, your synopsis of the stereotypical native.
And I'm not trying to make less of it. I just feel like if you're going to see a native role, he was also in Hell or High Water.
Yeah.
And I believe he was in Breaking Bad as the partner. The brother-in-law's partner.
Oh, he might. No, different guy.
Different guy.
Yeah, different guy.
Okay. So anyway.
I take it they look similar though.
They do.
Similar.
Very.
Okay.
But so I joke that he's the token native. But I love him. And every time I see him in a movie, it's like, oh, I like him.
He just, his face, just everything about him does scream native, so I could see why he would be typecast.
Yeah.
I do think he had a slight role in Breaking Bad. Like, if you remember when they're hunting the Mexican cartel guy, and all of a sudden you see the guys, they're on a reservation that's close to the border, and you see the guy's head on top of a turtle.
Yes.
So he was on that reservation, and the bomb was hooked up to it and blew everybody up.
I need to check out the series.
Oh, it's
a good one.
It's great.
We'll get you there. So anyway, that was the cast. So a quick synopsis on this. Corey Lambert, who is played by Jeremy Renner, is a wildlife officer in Wyoming.
Yeah, he's a tracker, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And he finds the frozen body of a teenage girl, which is Natalie. They bring an FBI agent, Jane Banner, mm-hmm. who's played by Olsen,
mm-hmm.
to investigate. So that's just kind of my synopsis.
Okay, it works.
On the storyline. But for the reason I picked it, right, taking it back to there, I feel like this is a topic that's not often discussed. And not a lot of movies have been made about it to push this agenda.
No.
And it's a real issue
mm-hmm.
that's going on. And so I felt like it was something that should have light brought to it. Kind of like Blood Diamond and some of my other picks in the past.
When you say like the issue itself, are you saying the overarching injustice on Native reservations?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I get you.
And
For me, it's not just injustice, it's the rate of murder and crime period on Native lands, whether it's Native on Native, white people coming or other people coming
and
going.
Or people that go missing on Native lands because it's technically another country and their government and our government do not work together.
Right.
Exactly. They don't. Like, the only way, if I were to drive onto a reservation right now, right, and I could commit a crime, and as long as I make it off the reservation, I can't be prosecuted unless it's a federal felony.
No shit.
Yeah.
Correct. It's a different legal system.
It's a different jurisdiction. So unless it's federally recognized as a felony, not state, federally recognized, you can't be prosecuted.
So as long as you don't cross that threshold.
Correct. Right. So I used to live.
So if you steal a pack of cigarettes, for example, not a federal crime.
And you make it off. There's
you make
nothing
it off the reservation. Anybody can
there's nothing they can do.
That is such a trip to think about.
The other thing is, if I go on to like Native lands and I am raped or murdered, their legal system will not do anything about it.
Because
she's an outsider.
Because I'm not Native.
Yeah, I get you.
They also won't work with our legal system on any investigation.
Correct.
So it's literally crossing country borders.
Well, you might already have this information, but I want to ask, has any other movie touched on this to this degree?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And if it, there is, I'm just not aware of it. It wasn't as mainstream.
Right. I mean, I haven't seen nearly as many movies as you have, but I don't, I'm coming up with a blank.
On yeah, that. I don't know. That's I don't why think I picked so. This one.
Yeah, like, I get you.
This movie just had a huge impact on us the first time we watched it. Yes. Because I think I was trying to write a paper.
Correct.
For like economics or something. I don't remember. And I just couldn't stop watching the movie. I put it on as like background noise.
Yeah,
and
she was like Netflix, reading a book. I was reading
it was
a
just
book.
A Netflix movie. Mm-hmm. And it was just so powerful, mm-hmm. you know, and it really resonated with me because I used to live in a town in Southern California that bordered a reservation. Mm-hmm. And there was countless people that would disappear on the reservation. I'm not talking about natives, but people living in the town, white people, black people, Mexican people, Asian people that would go and say, go to a party, go to do a drug deal, go to do whatever. And you would just never see them again. And nothing is ever found out because
there's no stats.
There's no stats and there's no jurisdiction. So local cops, even if they're a missing person, they can't go investigate on the reservation. They can't do anything.
That's such a trip.
Mm-hmm. And the reservation has an agenda as well. They don't want to seem like it's a bad place and get federal pressure. So do they investigate? Sure. I'm sure they might say they will, but do they really?
And
there's no like checks and balances.
Yeah. I mean, back in my past life when I was into drugs and all that, I would always go to the reservation to get everything.
I could see why.
You know, absolutely. They were like, when I moved down there, I moved from Northern California, you know, from the suburbs down to there, a very, very poor area. But you go onto the reservation and they have a casino. And as like I had friends, as soon as they turned 18, their per capita, their monthly stipend that they would get from that was anywhere from like $12,000 to $25,000 a month.
God,
uh-huh. I mean, what do you do with that amount of money at 18? It's a breeding ground for crime.
I could see why.
At that point, right, not all reservations are like that.
True. Right.
They don't have with that kind of income. They don't have to work.
Exactly. Now this Wind River is that the movie was titled that because that's actually the name of the reservation,
which we'll get into. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it's totally different.
That's so crazy.
There's no money anywhere.
To hear that for the first time, that mm-hmm. that exists, that form of self-government exists where injustices can be just
correct.
Disregarded.
And a lot of people don't realize that.
Right.
And so
I didn't.
If you, Justin, remember when we went down for your sister's baby shower
mm-hmm.
and I found out it was going to be on the reservation, I had a fucking heart attack.
You did.
Because I know this stuff from a criminal justice background. I didn't want anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrified.
You wouldn't have felt safe the entire time.
I didn't feel
right.
safe.
I get you.
It was crazy, bro. You walk into one room and they're like smoking meth. You walk into another, they're doing coke
off the bathroom counter.
Another one, they're just smoking blunts. And like,
there's no furniture. Sorry, Mary. I love you to death, mom-in-law, but I got to bust you guys out for this one.
Yeah.
It was a culture shock from the Granite Bay girl. But anyway, so because I found out it was going to be at the reservation, I was chain smoking.
I get you.
The whole time.
I don't blame you.
I could not wait to get out of there.
I can't blame you one bit.
So, okay. So that's why I picked it. Because I feel like it brings awareness to real events. So this movie was actually not just directed, but written by Taylor Sheridan.
Nice.
And it's based on multiple actual events. So it's not one linear story. It's mm-hmm. pieces taken from different stories that he kind of compiled
and put into one like dialogue of stories. Got you.
It's not based on a true story. It's based on numerous events,
but it still falls under the
umbrella. Based on correct. An issue.
I get you.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a creative story, historical fiction, if you will.
It's hard to like hearing this for the first time. It's hard to wrap your mind around
mm-hmm.
it, but I believe it.
So, as Justin had mentioned, Wind River is an Indian reservation. It's actually in east of Bowling Flats, Wyoming. It is the 7th largest Indian reservation in the United States by area and the 5th largest by population. I have never heard of it.
Well, because it's one of the poorest.
Right.
I think when I was researching, they said that the unemployment rate on that reservation is over 80%.
Oh, my God.
Correct. Yeah.
What do you do? How do you survive?
And they kind of illustrated that in the movie.
Yes.
I want to say too.
They did. Just crime.
Yeah.
And
crime. The house that they raided
mm-hmm.
too. That was an absolute disgusting mm-hmm. Drug haven.
I mean, granted, there's a lot of weather elements that prevent
true.
A lot of economy happening on that reservation. Right. There's no draw besides the sheer beauty.
Mm-hmm. Which I think there was a lot of that. It was breathtaking.
It was.
Even for an introvert to look at.
I mean, I think maybe especially for an introvert.
Especially, yes.
Because it's not populated.
It calls to me in numerous ways.
See, for me, it's like, no, that shit cold. I ain't going there.
Yeah, I get you.
No, I'm cool.
Well, and that's how Jane shows up, right? In like a windbreaker on the ridge. She had no clue where she was going.
She was initially from Florida and she lived in Vegas and she was the closest geographically. So they flew her in like a freaking tank top.
Yeah.
So it was so, she was so ill prepared for this.
Which tells you all you need to know and how they thought about this investigation from the get go.
Well, and that's how they tied in Jeremy Renner because he was, happened to be the one that found the body.
Right.
Well, and you know, I thought it was interesting that they tied in the fact that he also had a daughter that was murdered and she was native.
Correct.
You know, they never tell you exactly how.
Right.
But she went missing on the reservation and they never did anything about it.
You know, so to have that background from him and him move forward through the movie the way he does, it was,
I like that.
It was accurate.
I really like that undertone.
Yeah.
If he's not like trying for her memory or anything like that. I mean,
but it's, he's not trying to bring justice.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the similarities
more than just this instance.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. But I do think that was done well.
So, okay. So they do start off the movie with the narration of Natalie as she's running in the middle of the night. Barefoot. Through the ice and the snow, barefoot. And you don't know why she's running. You don't know what happens. And then it pans to the next scene as Jeremy Renner
hunting
animals. That's what he's doing. It's wildlife. He's a tracker.
Yeah.
And finds her dead body. And they go into the fact that it's 20 below at night. So when she's running, what was it, 5 or 10 miles?
I thought it was 6.
Maybe 6.
I for whatever reason, that number's sticking out.
I think I have it somewhere in my notes. I'll find it.
And I remember them saying like something to the nature that, you know, most people could only, you know, run a couple hundred yards or maybe 1,000 yards tops.
In that,
and it was the strength of the warrior inside her as a native woman for her to continue to go. You know, and I think he brought that up to somebody else. I think as he was killing one of the construction, the oil guys, you know what I mean?
Well, so what they say is that basically what happened to her is that her lungs
crystallized,
filled up with cold air and froze. And so the reason she died was not that she froze to death, but her lungs actually ruptured and she drowned in her own blood. I mean, horrific. We talk about how, you know, Luke has talked about how he hates the concept of drowning.
Yeah.
This brings a whole nother level.
It does. It really made me thirst to see what, like, how she was able to manage to stay alive for so long. Like, what caused her to be so terrified that she would put herself through that? Barefoot.
Barefoot.
Barefoot was the kind of the thing that always hung over me. Like,
me too. Okay,
this was horrible. Something absolutely unspeakable must have happened to her.
Right. Because why would you be barefoot? Do
that? Yeah. To draw that much strength to continue on.
It was a very effective way to push the plot forward. And make you really want to figure this out.
Yeah. And they mentioned that she legitimately drowned in her own blood before her body froze.
Oh, my God.
Horrific. Totally horrific. I mean, talk about a hell of a torture. But so, and then if you remember, they go into the autopsy of this girl after they defrost her frozen corpse. And that they revealed that she was absolutely raped. I mean, both
multiple times.
Vaginally and
anally.
Anally. Raped. Brutalized. But that because there was no homicide as the cause of death, they ruled it out for any sort of investigation. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's despicable. It truly is. I mean, it goes back to jurisdictional.
It's just so sad that something so heinous could, like, be just swept. I want to say swept under the rug.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Just because it didn't cross into absolute, you know, horrible felony range.
Correct. And what I thought was really well done about this writing of this story is Sheridan took a very realistic situation of what they would have done on the reservation to say it's not a homicide. Right. Now there's no federal record of a homicide.
Correct.
So there's no investigation. This would explain why Renner and Olsen were completely on their own.
Yeah.
And had no backup in this investigation. It's plausible.
Yeah.
I agree. Because Renner knew the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no way he, knowing what happened to his daughter, knowing what's happened to this girl, is not going to be invested.
Correct.
Exactly.
So.
No, you're 100% right.
I thought that was well done. And yes, they did. Justin, you mentioned they talked about how can you put a price on someone's will to live?
You can't.
Well said.
And I think that goes into one of the things I really love about this movie on a separate note of just the agenda it's pushing is I feel like this is a movie of amazing one-liners.
Yeah.
It has so many like life motivational like zingers. Mm-hmm.
It does. And I think that goes on Renner's character, you know, as being Corey. He doesn't talk a lot. He doesn't say a lot. But when he does a lot, most of it's profound.
Right. I would agree.
Well, just down to this isn't the land of backup. This is the land of you're on your own.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, yeah, that's pretty kind of obvious. But it just was the writing I thought
was expressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so one of the things I wrote down was that, you know, this idea came across to Sheridan, right? And I forget how it came to him, but he had his researchers research for 3 months, three solid months, like professional researchers try and compile statistics for this issue. And they came up with absolutely nothing.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. Nor did I. Nothing. And so that's why he just felt compelled that he had to do this. You know what I mean? Hmm. It's great.
Interesting. That's a great fact.
That is.
Fun fact by Justin.
Fun facts.
So a third thing that I really loved about this movie is the level of different emotional impact that the different scenes had. Mm-hmm. I mean, your heart is breaking for this girl and her family. Your heart is breaking for Jeremy Renner for losing his daughter, even though they don't really go into the serious background of it. But just the scenes of Jeremy Renner talking to her father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, those are powerful.
Throughout the whole movie, they were so simple in the scenes, but so powerful.
Such a strong connection.
One of the most powerful that I will never be able to get out of my head is when he goes and talks to the mother or tries to talk to the mother.
Yes.
That is heartbreaking to that. Didn't the father say something that you can try?
Yeah,
something
exactly.
Like that. Be my guest. And
one, because his daughter and Natalie were friends.
Uh-huh.
So like, not only did he have a connection by, you know, something similar potentially happening to his daughter, like this is his extended family. Right. You know what
and
I mean?
She was, I want to say she was on the bed rocking and cutting into herself.
And cutting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Just,
ritualistically. Yeah.
Disturbing.
Yeah. So one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie is the porch scene. Between her father, Gil, is the actor, and Jeremy Renner. And he goes into this quote, and it's about, I've got some good news for you, and I've got some bad news. Do you guys remember the quote? Just loosely?
Off the top, no. I don't.
Okay. He says, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The bad news is you're never going to be the same.
Yeah.
You're never going to feel whole ever again. You lost your daughter, and nothing is ever going to replace that. And now for the good news. As soon as you accept that and you let yourself suffer, you allow yourself to visit her in your head and you'll remember all of the love you gave her and all of the joy she knew. And that just, it just hits me.
Yeah.
And
understand.
I think anyone who's lost somebody feels that or can understand or relate to that. Like it was so relatable. Because it's true.
It's so real. Mm-hmm.
So real and raw.
You know, I think when he was telling Jane, who played by Elizabeth Olsen, when he was telling the only thing he told about his daughter is, you know, we brought her up well and we always tried to keep our eye on her and tried to protect her. And the moment we gave her, you know, we stepped away from that even just a little was the moment she was gone.
Yeah.
So what kind of torment would they go through for the rest of their lives because of that?
Well, and obviously he's alone now. So it split up their marriage. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And then crazy. The very next part of that, the next line of that scene is, you know, the point is you can't steer from the pain because if you do, you'll rob yourself of every memory. Take the pain. It's the only way to keep her with you.
Very profound.
And it's I'm choking up right now. Like, I thought that was so powerful.
It's like the best advice somebody could be given after
in grief.
Something. Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, especially in that situation.
Yeah. Oh, when there's nothing you can say to.
Or do.
Yeah.
I mean, even justice isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
No. Right? Justice is nice, but it doesn't.
Doesn't fix anything.
Doesn't fix the loss.
No. I want to say that the justice that was served was rewarding to watch.
Beautiful.
To watch.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree. But in the end, that underlying tone of what you just quoted is just so powerful that it will never be enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like just a small victory almost.
So another scene that I thought was incredibly powerful in this movie was the scene when Renner and the police take the two natives into custody. And after they attack the sheriff, and they're obviously criminals, they're obviously repeat offenders. Yeah. They're obviously problematic, but how quickly that scene flips and gives them a human level when the one realizes it's his sister that's dead.
Yeah.
The pain that he exhibits in that scene, you end up feeling so sorry for this guy who literally just attacked the cops.
Yeah. And is high on meth.
You should be calling for his head, but it really does flip it around.
I thought that was really a clever thing for Sheridan to do.
It was very clever. And we talked a lot about what this movie did to bring awareness to an issue, right? But I think one thing that we haven't got to yet is big oil and pipeline construction as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from an outside perspective and a political perspective, we hear that, you know, it's good for the economy. It's better for the environment because a pipeline, you know, doesn't create as much of a carbon footprint as transporting oil via truck or train or anything of that nature, right? Mm. But something that I never realized until this movie was that those pipelines typically run through federal land, not state land.
Mm.
And all reservations are federal land.
Mm.
I didn't realize that.
Nor did I.
And so
dots connected.
And so now think about pipeline or oil rigs. Who typically works on these? Alpha type males, big, buff, burly, you know, wannabe alpha males, right? Some of them are, but all the other ones wannabe.
Some of them are criminals. Some of them are people that don't have any other options.
Right.
And I think this movie did a great job of like portraying like this toxic masculinity. You know what I mean? It's like the guy who was with Natalie, you know, had his girl and was loving and protective of her and all these things. And you could see immediately in the other guys that, you know, were around him, they were jealous and they wanted that for themselves, but they weren't able to get it. So they were going to do whatever they had to do to get an inkling of that same feeling.
There are a few movies that the level of evil undertone affects me quite as much as this one. Those other men, including like Pete, for example, and we've talked about on previous podcasts, I don't do rape scenes.
No.
Yeah.
And I actually felt like this rape scene was so powerful and it was so, you know exactly what's happening, but they didn't have to graphic.
They didn't have to throw it in your face.
You didn't have to see everything, but you can see her on the bed and it's just.
And I mean, for me,
I mean, it makes my skin crawl.
For me, it was the way the guy, what was his name? He's the guy who plays the Punisher in the Netflix series.
The boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. The boyfriend. I mean, he was willing to sacrifice his life and literally fight these guys to the death so she could just get out of
there. And
the
beauty,
and he literally did.
The absolute beauty of it was from the first time watcher, I'm calling for his head the whole time thinking he did it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then seeing the true story of it, then, you know, I felt like a total douche. Because
at first you're like, any regular person would probably just be like, walk away from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not worth it. I'm not going to die over this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was. He was willing to die for her.
And I totally agree with you. The rape scene was done, for lack of a better word, tastefully.
It was.
It was more implied than shown.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that because rape scenes are super uncomfortable.
And I can't get past them in most movies.
And so just having the implication of it was enough to give you the emotion you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was rough. I'm not saying it wasn't rough.
No,
that was
it was.
For me, that's a very rough scene. And the fact that I'm able to say that I truly love this movie, getting past that scene, which was a rough scene, speaks to the volumes of how well the movie was done.
I would agree.
I think, at least from my perspective. So I do want to talk about some of the other scenes. Do you guys have any scenes that you remember that stuck out that you want to talk about before I just take lead on everything?
I personally love the kill box. Was that what it's called?
When they all surround him.
When the flanking. Did he call it a kill box?
Well, at first he said, why are you flanking me? Is what he said to the guy. And then he looks over and he's like, they're trying to put us in a kill box because he had previous military training.
Yeah.
Even though now he was just small time sheriff.
That standoff, I don't know how long it was, but it wasn't long enough. I wanted more to that because it was just so much substance to it. And that scene and the justice scene stand out to me the most as like what I hang my hat on about this movie is why I enjoyed it so much.
I love that flanking scene too.
Yeah.
The way it was filmed and it was done so subtly that you almost don't realize it, especially if you don't have that kind of background. Yeah. You might not realize that's what's happening. And then the way it was filmed with the cinematography and the slight music in the background, yeah. It was not foreshadowing.
No, definitely not.
And then it happened. And you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, I didn't even know I had witnessed it until that moment.
Like, until it was called out.
To me, it almost broke the fourth wall mm-hmm. without breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, well, so
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the only other scene that I really truly enjoyed was when one of the friends calls out, hey, was it Pete, the dude that, mm-hmm. so you have an FBI agent standing right in front of your door. And then right then you're like, oh shit, get out, get away, get down.
It
goes down, yeah.
So that was my next scene I was going to talk about, which Luke, thank you for bringing up, was that flanking scene. I thought that was beautifully mm-hmm. executed. Then the very next scene is her on the porch.
Yeah.
And as soon, I feel like both of those scenes, you're not quite sure if it's going to go that direction. And then as soon as they say it, you're like, oh man.
Yeah.
And so as soon as she's standing there, right before the cop with her tells her to get down, the gunshot comes.
Yeah, the shotgun to the chest.
And I want to say that whole scene was believable.
It was.
People weren't taking massive bullets and still like being able to shoot. There were believable injuries, believable reactions to those injuries. And then Jeremy Renner coming along and saving them from a distance with a sniper.
And him being able to snipe from a distance makes sense. He's a wildlife tracker.
That's what he does. It made and everything about it
he
made
hunts
sense.
Predators to protect any farm life that these people have.
So it wouldn't be unrealistic. It's not like he's, you know, with a handgun from like a mile away with a kill shot.
Yeah.
It was realistic. And
he's in a snow camo and everything.
And I thought that scene was beautiful because you're thinking she's about to eat it.
Right.
Well, yeah, now you had already thought, you know, she just got blasted off a porch from close range with a shotgun. I mean, you already think maybe she's dead. And then she comes to with like that gasp of air and like rolls underneath the trailer. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then somebody finds out her underneath there. Right. And she starts shooting and eventually comes out and has to come out. And then that's when he saves the day. And I mean, it was just...
And it's believable. I mean, I'm so tired of seeing movies where somebody has a bulletproof vest on and they get shot and they just like stand up like Rambo and it's no big deal. That's going to knock the wind out of you. You're going to be seriously injured.
Yeah. Straight up knock you out.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say the whole scene when their cars were driving up and they were noticed, my body was tense.
Yes.
Up until Renner came along after the dust was settled. It was just my body was tense and I wanted to see how it played out.
And I felt like that whole shootout scene was so epic.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It was. It was done so well.
Mm-hmm. It's a masterpiece. Taylor Sheridan killed it.
He did.
Agree. I would totally agree.
Okay. Let's skip ahead to, because after that, if you remember, Elizabeth Olsen, Jane Banner, is talking to Jeremy Renner. And she's like, you know, I can't, I've got a radio. I'll call, you know, but go get him. And he says, I'm not going to bring him back alive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, well, he has it coming.
Definitely. It was all of the character development to that point. She at that point knew that the justice system was broken and this was the only
justice. This was justice.
Right.
Correct.
So let's talk about that justice scene a little bit where he, you know, knocks him out, drags him up to the top of the mountain. What'd you guys think?
I couldn't envision a better justice scene to serve to the audience, to give them a reason that they watched the previous hour 40 or whatever. I couldn't imagine a better, you know, someone getting their comeuppance than that.
So would you say it's eye for an eye?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, definitely. But at the same time, it came full circle.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave him the opportunity to survive. That was the only opportunity she had to survive.
And Renner's demeanor, that entire scene just put the bow on it.
Mm-hmm.
He was so matter of fact, so
nonchalant
about it, but it fucking worked.
Mm-hmm.
It was, God, I love Joe.
If you watch that movie and didn't feel it, like, I don't know what type of person you are. If you have an inkling of empathy whatsoever,
yeah.
And I feel like it was so beautiful in the way that they did that. And it left me still wanting more for this horrible human being of a painful ending.
Like wanting to see him suffer more?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
But you didn't need to. Justice. It was poetic.
Yeah.
And it didn't, what I liked about it is it didn't bring down or degrade Renner.
Right. It didn't.
It didn't make him change who he was. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah. For me, it made me like him more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
You know, he went back to when he started and, you know, like he knew the girl and said, you know, she's a fucking warrior to be able to get to where she got. And, you know, he stripped the dude down, left him barefoot and said, you know, it's X amount of miles to get where you had to go.
I think it was seven. He gave him the same amount of distance. The same amount of
distance.
And the guy didn't go back to where
he
was
that she had to survive. And you saw how far he made it. Mm-hmm. He didn't make 100 feet, maybe.
I mean, let's be totally graphically honest. She was just brutally raped.
Exactly.
And she ran.
By multiple people.
And she ran. That's not easy to do.
No. And the only thing that really gave it more poetic justice was Pete, his panic at knowing what was going to happen.
Such a bitch.
It was like a drunken panic.
It was very much like a drunken panic. He realized what was happening, and his panic was like, if it kind of like quelled the thirst his head.
The hysteria was well done.
Yeah, absolutely. When the second he saw his feet were bare and his panic, it was rewarding.
Yep.
To something that shouldn't really feel rewarding based on what we've just seen.
It felt good though. All right. So the following scene, if you remember, Renner comes back and the quote is, I heard this one's still missing. No, no one's missing. How did he go out? With a whimper.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You just feel that justice and excitement.
Well, not just justice and excitement for me. It was like it portrayed pride for the Native people and for in this reservation who really don't have a lot. You know, all they have is their heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for him to go out like a sissy with a whimper, like you said, and for her to go out like a warrior in the same situation was empowering.
I agree.
So, and then if you remember, right after that is the scene where he goes to her father's house.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do remember that.
That was hard.
Yeah.
Rough scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved the fact that he goes to sit with him and he's sitting there in full makeup.
Yes.
And he just says, you got time to sit with me? And he says, I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so beautiful.
My eyes missed it up.
I know, right?
Yeah, like, they did.
And then his response of, I got to go wash the shit off my face. Like, it was nice to have a little bit of a comic relief.
Yeah.
A little levity to the situation. Yeah.
So I know I kind of took the lead on talking about everything that I loved about this movie and scenes. And Luke got in on a couple of the scenes. Mm-hmm. Justin, did I miss anything that I feel like we've kind of shut you out a little bit?
No, I mean, we went over a lot of the things that I love about this movie. You know, one of my favorite things is the character development within Elizabeth Olsen, right? Mm-hmm. And her as the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed FBI agent. And she grew as a person, not just about the world, the justice system, you know, everything. She learned so much, right? So one of the fun facts I have about this is Jeremy Renner was trying to recruit her for this movie. And, you know, she's coming off like Avengers notoriety, right? Had finally hit like the national stage, blah, blah, blah. She was on the fence about doing this movie because it wasn't going to be a big production. It was going to be a Netflix movie. Mm-hmm. She didn't know anything about Taylor Sheridan or anything about this issue.
This was just a Netflix movie.
It was just a Netflix
movie. No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it went into theater for like
a very limited release.
I mean, not just being a Netflix movie, like is any indication of the quality, but it's just surprising.
Like nobody saw it till it went to Netflix.
Because there was production like value. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it was a limited release if I remember right. So Elizabeth Olsen was like on the fence, right? And then she read the script and then she started researching. And not only did her character develop, like she developed as a person due to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
She actually joined a nonprofit after her experience with this movie called the Rape Treatment Center.
No kidding.
Yeah. So she went on she is now on the board of this because, you know, it touched her so much doing this movie and learning about everything that's happening on these reservations.
That's insanely like
way to put your power and your money and your influence to something good.
Like, that's the time you can step on your soapbox.
Yes, hell yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Power to her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Really made me respect her as a person.
100%.
Did you have another?
You know, we went over the different things. I did have like one gripe with the movie.
Good. What is that?
I guess I would say is that, you know, the impetus of the story is Natalie, right? And her experience and her death.
Impetus. Good word.
I know.
And right? I feel like she could have been more of a main character than just the cause of the story, you know, and we're talking about things that happen on a reservation and happen because of the white man and outsiders, it was odd to me to have a story focus on two white people on a native issue.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that being a gripe. I can.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
For me, I actually thought it was done okay because it opened and closed with her narratives and it was about her demise.
Yeah.
And I think if they would have had her as more of an integral character, then it would have built up a character and killed her off when it really wasn't about who she was. It was about the fact that this is what's happening.
And yeah. it almost made it more impactful when she was being referenced, when mm-hmm. her quotes were being narrated. It was.
And I think when they bring another character in, it could have made people either like or dislike her, have an opinion about her.
True.
Whereas this didn't allow for that. She's the victim, period. Yeah, regardless of if you like her or not.
But I get you.
I hear you. Yeah.
I do.
I just take the other side. I
think. It was just kind of a cliche.
Yeah.
You know, bit. I guess for me.
Sure.
Oxymoron, I guess, would be more of a better way to say. We're going to shed light onto a Native American issue and put the focus on the white people who were kind of responsible for the issue.
I think they were able to.
Even though they did it well. Yeah. And, you know, you see the transformation of Jane, who is and the embodiment of the viewer for me. Right.
Sure.
The viewer personified.
Right.
It still was just like, you know, I just felt like something was missing there.
How much of an issue is it for you?
Not much. I mean, I still rate the movie high because I think it's a wonderful movie.
I do, too.
It's an interesting perspective.
It is. I had not thought of it like that.
I hadn't either.
Because I thought it was done respectful all across the board.
Yeah.
But I could see why someone would take issue with that, though.
And I feel like what they did try to do was, in her absence as a character, they tried to bring, you know, the relatability to the quote-unquote the natives in the movie through her brother, through her father, through her mother. Even in the part where like her brother says, man, I get so mad. I want to fight the whole world. You got any ideas on what that feels like when he's in the cop car and he's arrested? And Jeremy Renner says, I do, but I decided to fight the feeling instead because I figured the world would win.
Well said.
And
well
I think said. That
another
was
another profound statement.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. And I think that it really brought persona and, reality and human element to the brother and his strife, you know, and her father. And so I think that they were able to bring in quote unquote the natives through the other characters, but I totally hear what you're saying about
as do I.
Her being kind of an afterthought almost. Interesting.
I wouldn't say that it's that she was an afterthought. I was just trying to, while I was going through the movie, you know, I was thinking about my own experiences. And like I said earlier about, you know, living next to a reservation, about having Native American in my family lineage and different things like that. I tried to put myself in the perspective of a Native American watching this movie, you know? And so the movie is directed to bring awareness, like you said, to this issue. So how would they feel watching this movie?
No, that's a good point. I like the empathetic approach.
Yeah. I have my moments.
You're pretty awesome.
Sometimes.
Okay. Valid point.
Very.
Thank you.
Very.
Luke, any other thoughts, scenes, gripes?
No. I mean, the word masterpiece was mentioned earlier by Justin, and I mean, I tend to agree across the board. It got the emotion out of me that it was seeking and it was powerful. It was a powerful movie to watch.
Don't expect it.
No.
Right. Absolutely. I had no idea what I was getting into. Like you guys told me a little bit.
It was a little bit of a rough movie.
I don't think you showed me the trailer.
No.
Nope.
Okay. So I knew nothing going into this, but, and I kind of love having that perspective sometime because it's what they intend. The first time you watch, your reaction is what they intend.
And that's what I love a lot about Taylor Sheridan, as he can take the movie, take away the feeling. Just look at what was on screen. It was pretty simplistic.
But beautiful.
Gorgeous. Making a lot out of a little, right? It was subtle in its approach on giving you the most feels with the smallest nudges, mm-hmm. I would say, rather than like shoving it at you and being like, this is a problem. Pay attention. Focus on this being a problem. I never felt that way. I didn't feel attacked as a viewer.
A lot of the movies we've watched recently have had that shoved in your face over and over again approach.
Well, and it makes me, for some reason, it makes me think of like a Quentin Tarantino movie, right? He lets the
I'm curious how you're going to bring this one in.
The way he's a master is with the dialogue, and the dialogue is what gives you the feels and tells you the story and tells you how to do everything. Whereas Taylor Sheridan, why he is so great is because he lets the action and everything that happens itself speak for itself, you know, speak on its own. He doesn't have to get deep into dialogue to make you feel something. You feel it just based off what's happening.
So your comparison, your comparison is Tarantino's
two totally different approaches,
but they still use the same, drive more or less.
Exactly. For lack of a better word. But two different approaches to it.
See, I think Tarantino's a little more extra though. And a lot of it is very, even in the writing, even in the screen, everything is a lot more over the top, where I would say that Sheridan on the opposite is a lot more subtle.
Correct.
But they both get the same kind of effect.
Yeah. Tarantino's are very dialogue driven. Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know what I mean? Whereas Taylor Sheridan, when he's writing them, he picks and chooses those moments and those profound statements, like we've said, and they just come across so strong because of it.
Yeah.
Think about Yellowstone.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like there's a lot going on. There's a lot of different characters, a lot of different aspects going on within the show. And then all of a sudden, Kevin Costner will come with a one-liner and you're like, fuck, that was epic.
Or Beth.
Yeah. We'll just say something randomly and it's like, I felt that. You know what I mean?
I think one of my favorites is when Costner looks and goes, honey, I can't unhear that.
I really love these father-son moments that we have, but you're my daughter.
Yeah. So I think one of my favorite things about Sheridan, and it's rare that I really like when one person writes and directs. I usually feel like
he writes and directs everything.
But he does. And he does an amazing job. And I think for me, the reason I love it so much is that it's so character development driven. Mm-hmm. And that's my biggest argument with a lot of modern movies, is that there's no development, or they're one-sided. And I feel like every single character in this movie had a full development, even if they're not on screen long. Mm-hmm. You can relate to them at some point or another, even down to Pete.
Yeah.
In his moment of about to be killed, shared his human.
Yes, he did.
Experience.
Yeah. And you felt it.
You did.
And I truly feel like that's why Taylor Sheridan, like, he doesn't get enough credit.
No, he doesn't. I agree.
He's fantastic.
Okay.
Did you feel Pete's remorse was genuine?
No.
No, nor did I.
It was totally like self-serving. He was
straight up in hysteria.
Yeah, it was self-preservation.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
Just curious.
It was in the, oh my God, I'm going
to
die.
Yeah. Try and justify, try and get some kind of, just try to get a break.
That's why I compared it to Drunken Panic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Said. Because he seemed like a deranged man at that point.
Mm-hmm. He was desperate.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And desperation.
Which is exactly what was trying to be portrayed in that moment. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Do we want to go to
critics,
budget, and box office, or do we want to go to our ratings?
No, let's go to budget and box office.
Okay. All right. Gents, budget.
I'm going to say 24 million.
Okay.
I'm going to say 32.
11.
Wow.
Man.
Think about it. It's not a big cast.
It's not.
Well, I know, but you have two characters who are just coming off Avengers money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they didn't do this for the money.
I know they didn't. So,
I didn't even take that into account. You're right.
Okay. And there's not a lot of CGI or a lot of special effects.
No,
this was all about feel.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, now you can kind of see why Elizabeth Olsen was on the fence of doing this movie. Like, I'm not really going to make anything to do it. You know what I mean?
So with that being said, limited release box office thoughts.
God, oh, I'm terrible when there's like a moniker like limited release. 23.
Justin?
I'm going to say 6.
I hope not.
45.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It did better than I thought.
And that's box office.
I wish it did more.
Yeah, that doesn't include Netflix money.
Correct. That's just box office.
It more than quadrupled.
It's correct.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Good return on investment for all involved. All right, our ratings, kids.
Should we do the critics first? Let's do critics.
Usually
first.
We do ours and then critics, right?
I think we usually do critics.
I think
first.
We kind we of usually we do bounce
critics.
Around.
Yeah. Let's do critics.
Okay. Critics. IMDb.
7.2.
Justin?
6.5.
7.7.
Nice.
Rotten Tomatoes. Critic and audience, because they are different.
88% audience.
Okay.
71% critic.
Okay.
I'm going to go close. I'm going to go 85 audience, and I'm going to go 78 critics.
90% audience, 87 critic.
Wow.
So it was well.
I like this movie.
It was well portrayed.
Isn't it rewarding when we all enjoy a movie that to like be in the majority of people,
especially a sleeper like this that most people have never heard of.
Right.
4.9 Facebook.
Oh my God. Tells
five.
You everything
out
you
of
need
five,
to know. Oh, okay.
4.5 okay. out of 4.9 out of 5.
Okay, okay, good.
I was about all to be pissed.
Yeah, same here.
I was about to go on a rant.
And 88% Google, which we've talked about is just yes or no, but still.
Still okay. worth mentioning.
So now that we've gone through those, who would like to go first on ratings?
I would, please.
Okay, go ahead.
A plus.
Wow. That's your second A plus?
I know. I don't know what's wrong with me. But
38 episodes?
This is
nice.
So we just need to work out and give him coffee next time. Yeah. Got it.
So, okay. My rating is based on the fact that I have nothing negative to say about this movie. My general complaint with any movie is that things drag. And this didn't drag, but I could see why if I wasn't invested or I was distracted, I would say it dragged. Like if I really wasn't watching what was happening, I would claim at this moment that it dragged way too long.
If you weren't connecting to it.
Right. But it connected my heart. It connected my emotions. It connected my adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And very few movies do that to me. And this was, like you said, a sleeper for me too. I never hearing about it. It goes back into the Blood Diamond of a movie I can't believe I haven't seen before. And I feel cheated that 39 years have gone by. I mean, granted, it didn't come out when I was 0 years old, but still that I hadn't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's only been 5 years that it's been out. So you haven't missed out on
still,
whole
but just
lot. Yeah,
not ever hearing about it.
Yeah.
I feel cheated.
You're welcome.
So thank you. So it gets an A+ for me.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's going to get the same for me.
Fuck yeah.
A plus. Yes. I mean, it's rare for a movie to have this much of an impact, let alone on the viewer, but the people who are actually in the movie,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And I think that speaks volume on its own.
Okay.
Oh boy. The sigh.
Oh fuck.
Okay. I give it like the highest A under A+ possible. And my only gripe is rape.
Got it.
Granted,
Fair enough. The movie
could not have been done without it. It would not have made sense without that brutal violence.
And even though
she wouldn't have been that motivated, it was tasteful. The justice wouldn't have been as poetic. I just fucking hate rape scenes.
Yeah.
And so for me, it took it from like, say, a 98 to like a 97.
Okay. Understandable.
So it still makes it across the board A+ because I love this movie. I love the feel of it. I love the vibe of it. I love all of the above. I think it's a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that's my own personal preference. I hate rape scenes.
Understandable. We all have our hangups and I can understand anyone hating rape scenes.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's it's not a critique.
Just personal preference.
It's personal preference.
Yeah. Sure enough. Still gets an A+.
Yeah.
Consents.
A+ around the board, guys. So if you haven't seen Wind River yet and you like Taylor Sheridan or you like Jeremy Renner, or you're just looking for a damn good movie.
Or you want to see the oldest Olsen sister.
Yep.
Check it out.
We certainly endorse it.
Wind River.
Yep.
All right. Full Circle Review signing off.
Bye.